Welcome to the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight, influential leaders and their game-changing insights. I'm Jacqueline Stominger, CEO and founder of Leap to Your Success. That's leaptoyoursuccess.com. We help entrepreneurs, leaders, and CEOs grow their business, become unstoppable high achievers in their careers and life, gaining that 1% edge. We believe every professional has the power within them to leap to their greatest success that not only will impact their life, but the lives of the people they touch. So stick around to the end of the show and we will share with you how you can be our next guest. So stick around for those 15 to 20 minutes and let's be unstoppable. Everybody, and welcome to the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight podcast, where we hear from influential leaders and their game-changing insights. I'm Jacqueline Stominger, your host, and today I want to welcome our amazing guest, Richard Blank. Holy guys, you are going to just be just amazed with his experience, what he's done. So just to give you a little background on Richard, first of all, he truly believes in leadership, a strong corporate culture, and creating success within a team. So Richard's journey started in a call center, and it, like everybody's journey, there's always twists and turns. When he was 27 years old, he was relocated to Costa Rica to train over 5,000 employees for one large call center in San Jose. With a mix of motivational public speaking style backed by tactful and appropriate rhetoric, Richard has shares his knowledge and he's trained over 10,000 bilingual telemarketers. He is a great leader because he also brings in fun. He has the largest collection of restored American pinball machines and antique Rocola.
Jukeboxes? Of course you are. Rocola. Yes.
In Central America, making gamification a strong part of the call center's culture, which is really important. He is Richard is the chief executive officer for Costa Rica's call center since 2008. Richard, I am so excited to have you as a guest on this show and to share insights. And I want to start off with what you've got lots of years, although you don't look like you still look like you're 27. What was a defining moment in your leadership journey that has really transformed how you lead?
Well, first, I can't thank you, Jacqueline, for being a guest. I'm so happy to be here and I love your show. So
thank you.
It's amazing I'm here to share some tales and ticks and tricks. What I learned is the basics, it's the foundation. The fact that the first impression for me is that I could speak their language.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I could talk about anything, but at least I showed proper grammar and vocabulary and our charm and our smile and our way from being from the United States. But we both understood the dedication and the structure and the discipline. So once we could exchange that in two languages, there is that bond. And so unlike being some other people that come here and run companies and try to get people to speak for them, we call them portavoz, I'm the boss. I'm making sure that I can relate to them during good and bad times, just to make sure that I can reduce any sort of attrition and just really choose in a selective way the right people that would be here long term.
So with what you just said, something that comes to my brain and is that you went there when you were 27. Did you speak the language already?
I did.
Okay. So that's really important. And
yeah.
And that's respect.
It wasn't overnight. I wasn't an honors student and I didn't go Ivy League. This is what happened. In high school, you have to make a decision.
Right.
And a lot of my friends were going into law and medicine, family business, real estate, you name it. They had a plan.
Yeah.
I didn't have a plan. Two things. A, I wanted better weather than Northeast Philly.
Okay.
And secondly, my favorite class was Spanish. And I had this insight where if at least I was bilingual, it might open doors. I could put it on a business card and we could see where it goes. But I tell you what, my friend, when I was doing the above and beyond school, watching the movies, reading the books, finding people to talk over coffee, that's a little bit different than studying physics. You could really, you love it. And so my argument to my parents was two things. I was going to be financially responsible. In-state tuition at Arizona was great. So I was going to be a Spanish major. And secondly, great grandpa did it. He came from Eastern Europe to New York and learned English at the turn of the 20th. Come on, give him a break. It's in our blood. Let me do it. Come on for grandpa.
But that's so important,
That's
Richard.
my argument.
No, but that's, so I don't know. There's a good book, and I've shared it recently. It's Jack Finney wrote it. It's called Time and Again, and they talk about it's a it, he goes back in time, and one of the times he goes back into is, I want to say 20s and 30s, maybe. I don't know. I can't really remember that part, but what I do remember about the thing that stuck to me and about leadership and about was that when people came over then, so like your grandfather, he came over, he learned English.
That's right.
He learned the language because he wanted to be part of the culture and be part of the community here because that's what we spoke. And there's a sense of pride when you learn the language and you become part of the community. And you did that going to Costa Rica.
That is right.
And so what that also shows the people that you're the community that you're becoming part of, it shows them that you respect them and that helps elevate you. It does something. It's like, it says, oh, he's not just here to have, as you, I know you, there was a beautiful word that you use, the translator in between. You wanted to be able to speak to people the way that they are spoken to
Yes.
in their native tongue. And that's a huge part of leadership. And that's a huge, again, I keep going back to respect, because you're respecting the culture of where you are.
Then taking it to the second level of not just administering a call center, but through my classes, observations, and coaching, they do understand. I'm the Mr. Miyagi here. They're all Daniel-sons. Come on, I can chop bottlenecks. My point being is, I'm not doing it for my own ego. I'm letting them know you're in a beautiful environment where I'm going to pay it forward. I'm going to balance your bike. I'm going to increase your vocabulary and your balance on the phone. So you have these amazing soft skills that you can use outside of the office to make a happy life because you'll be an advanced communicator.
And advanced skills, happy life, and it does go outside. What do you think it does, to help resonate not just inside, but when you say going outside, what do you think it does for those people when they go home or when they interact with other people?
Without prying, I've heard stories from people when I've seen them on an off day or out of character. Some will disclose, some have even cried, like men twice my size. They have responsibilities. They carry care of parents or grandparents or children, or times are tight. And so, without asking or for them giving, sometimes I do give things into consideration if somebody is offbeat that day. And so I'm hoping that while they're with me, that they've recharged batteries, let off steam, their buddy sitting next to them was able to give them a thumbs up for another day. Or even if they do want to have coffee with me and see me as a mentor, someone that they could speak to without any sort of judgment, then I'd be more than happy to not, be their dad and go home with them and try to solve it all. That's not me. But I'll talk about the time I broke a window and then I knocked on the door and admitted it and paid for it and made it right. The best stories that you can tell are the ones where you fell out of the tree and you learned what to do. Don't scold them or lecture them or try to, speak down to them. They're asking you for guidance, which means it's not the misery that loves company, it's the senior in high school or the big brother or the mentor that can say, young man, this is how you balance yourself again and redo it again, because I've been there. And I like when people do that. They shed a skin, they become vulnerable, and they're willing to learn at that moment when it's most critical. And you and me having leverage, being able to break them if we wanted to, make them cry. We take this delicate moment, like some people have done in our past, educators, friends.
Right.
And we have a moment that is private and said what needs to be said. Straight shooting. Fix that tie there, Jacqueline. Come on.
Right.
And then you change them. And that's a beautiful thing, to be given that sort of responsibility. And that's the price that you pay if you run a company and you have hundreds working with you. And so if you're willing to give a little bit of that time in the moment when they need you the most, that is how you make them feel. And that is the longest sort of energy and light that you could ever get out of somebody. 10 years from now, they'll say, I remember that day. You made me feel like $1 million. I didn't. And you wore this nice red tie. I'm like, you remember? So yeah, it's a nice thing to pay it forward like that. It's passing the light of the candle to the next. That's all.
And first of all, that's just beautiful, because I think that's, like, to me, listeners, and when you're listening to this, I think that is one of the most important things that we can do, which is have that emotional intelligence and have empathy for the people that are in our charge, our team members. I think of every employer-employee relationship as it's a big team that's playing together. And you need to be able to, it is, it's giving that person that that power of knowing that they can communicate with you, they can go to you, and you're not going to scold them like a dad, but you're going to help them find their path and lift them up.
You want to hear something cool? Let me give you a football analogy. You and I did at least 9 first downs before they came to me for that touchdown. This wasn't a random thing where I don't know who Billy is. There's been so many times I've congratulated you for making amazing phone calls. There were a couple more times I saw you in the lunchroom when we broke bread together or we played Pac-Man or pinball. And the first day you were here, I introduced myself and said you were cool. We did the training together and you were great on the phone. And so I'm not a Johnny come lately, and I'm not a flowers guy after you got in trouble. No way. That knock on the door for good or bad is because we are set and we're like that. And you're not afraid of me. We respect one another.
Yeah.
And so you're coming to me and I see you, and I will literally stop a meeting and make sure, listen, Jacqueline's at the door. Guys, give me 5 minutes. Come on in. I'm in your VIP. First time at the door. This is amazing. And so I'd be extremely excited to see what you have to say, because you're one of my top agents on the phone and everyone loves you. So I'd love to know what you have to say. It's like a prince of a castle, you know, coming with really good news.
Right. And that really just shows amazing respect and putting the people first. And they're your team members. They're the people, they may be doing the work, but they also help elevate the whole company. So so speaking on this, because it's really about culture. So how, if you can give one tip on creating and cultivating great culture, what would it be?
I have to think of the core.
Okay.
So it's got to be the trunk of the tree, not the branches or the roots. It's got to be individual. So for me, it's really not being hard on myself. That's the deepest, that's the worst. You can ruin it in regards to health and focus and timing and everything. And so if you, regardless of the outcome, do certain things with the best intentions and the best plan, okay, it's a perfect play. Sometimes things happen.
Right.
And you can do preventative measures the most that you can. But if you literally did everything, then you should live with yourself on that. Some of the people all of us admire in any sort of vertical, some of the greatest parts of their bio is when you hear when they get knocked down. What did Billy do? How did he get back?
Right.
And you know, you want to hear about the strong comeback. And when they rise like a phoenix. And you always mention in regards to the guests that you have, it's not just the good times, it's also the knockdowns, but it's the middle when we're training for the match again. And it comes in all shapes and sizes, just not for the bells and the whistles and the lights in the moment. And when you look back at it, it is you being consistent with not just work, because that could be too much, like chocolate at Halloween. You need outside interests. And thankfully for me, I love working out. I love washing my convertible. I play a lot of pinball. My wife and I do some traveling. So I have a very nice balance, because if you just do the wheel, that thing's going to lose its sharpening as well. You need to desensitize and decompress and laugh at yourself from time to time.
Yeah.
And call that client and say, listen, Jacqueline, I'm sorry for yelling. I was just all excited. You know, I was interrupting too much. I was excited. And those are nice resets again that you can do if you treasure a relationship. And leadership is being mature and having impulse control. And just the little things, the little garnishes to make it really nice and showing such effort that's put into it, instead of just something that's printed out and thrown out. And I like paintings, and I like home cooked meals and podcasts of spending time together. It's so much nicer. The energy transfer is incredible. And the more that we text and we chat and we email, this is what's going to be seen as a luxury. And
yes,
I just find it to be very nice these days.
You know, yes, communication is it's so important. And the face to face on Zoom or face to face in person, you know, putting these down and actually, you know, hearing from you about creating that culture of positivity in a company, about creating that balance and helping your team members, you know, the people that are working with you, understand that. To me, that is, it's so important. And I'm sure you could share, how important do you think creating that positive culture is to performance in the organization?
No offense, but I can't stand negative Nancy's and Debbie Downers.
No offense taken. You and I are on the same page with that, right?
Or the Cancer. Someone that makes funny faces and gives you the stink eye. You're like, what? Seriously?
Right.
I said was Buenos Dias. You can say Buenos Dias back, Emiliano. Come on. Don't be so bitter. But what are you going to do? It's the sort of thing where, as I mentioned before, is it just a one and a done, or is it someone that got through the cracks and actually got into the company? I need people that, it's very interesting, because here at a call center, you'll have superstars like the big guys at the gym, and those that work out next to them, work in with them, or even ask questions, they might figure out routines to get bigger, stronger. And I never had a problem walking up to somebody and asking how to do triceps or dips or certain exercises better. And we will sit them next to them for natural shadowing. They're sitting next to someone for 8 hours a day. They're going to hear this guy making the calls. They have to feed off of that energy, and imitation is flattery. Next thing you know, we rotate out of those, and those person goes there. And it's very interesting how these plants grow and with whom they feel most comfortable, because the shy ones might not want to be with the loud ones. You know, he's too much of a greaser. You know, they want more of a preppy kid. So throw him over in with this guy. You know, it's kind of like high school. Which table are they going to feel most comfortable with? The goth kids. With all the tattoos and stuff. Yeah, sticking with the goth kids. And but they're beautiful speakers. And anyone that's bilingual bears the mark of higher education. And if they have a slight accent, which I do when I speak Spanish, it's almost like Ricardo Montalban on Fantasy Island speaking English. It's super smooth. You get a double take, you're like, my man, you know, it sounds good.
Right.
And so I admire what they do. And they know it too. And so by giving them this positive reinforcement when it's necessary, it's the perfect way when you have your sheep and your little sheep, you know, dog, I can do some wiggles. There's some twists and turns and zigs and zags, but we're still going back to the barn. But don't be so rigid on people and still be part of the people. And don't feel that you're better than anybody, because I tell you what, the moment that no one comes back, you don't have a company anymore. And so the market speaks. And the fact that these individuals do come back day after day and year after year, between me and you and your audience, what do you say to someone who's been with you 15 years?
Thank you.
Do you thank them enough? But that sort of time, it's past the point, kind of like in Star Trek, when everyone's like friends and no one's really in charge anymore. It's like me, I've been with this guy for so long. Dude, you know you're in charge of the server room. It's just, what do I salute you? I mean, come on. It gets past weird. It gets comfortable,
right,
where nicknames are given and winks are done, and you break bread over the years, and it's just, you feel exceptionally fortunate to have found the right people. And that's all. Just be humble. If those decide to come and stand and walk with you for another day, please just take your time to acknowledge that.
Okay, first of all, that is so beautiful. And to acknowledge people. And I feel like listeners, if you're talking about leadership and you want to make a positive impact and change within your company, listen to what Richard just said. It's admire, be positive, reinforce that positivity. And what you said is, you know, breaking bread, you're creating a family environment at your company and at the call center and helping people, you know, feed off of the right energy with the right people. You get to know people, and you're going to know that if Susie's sitting next to Jill and it's not the right energy, you move them to somebody else so that they can get the right energy. And because energy attracts like energy, and people need to have that, but it's also creating that family experience and knowing that people are part of something and they're feeling like they're part of something greater than themselves. And they know that when they walk into the company, and my phone is going, did not go on do not disturb. But when they're walking in and they're part of something, yeah, and they're doing that day after day, and they have a smile on their face because they feel appreciated and respected, they're going to keep coming back. And there isn't going to be that negative Nelly chatter, because we all don't like that. But you need to stop that in its tracks, and you stop that by helping people create positive environments.
You're so correct.
And it's, you know, and I would bet that the people that are in your call centers and as a leader, that is, it's a great thing to have as a, you know, in a leader and as a leader. So I'm curious, did somebody teach it to you, or did you read it in a book, or how did you get to this, to have this knowledge? Because not everybody does. Like, you would think that we would, but
I guess when you're younger, in regards to popularity or the way that people see you, forget growing up insecurities of youth. The question is, were you invited to parties? Did people say hello to you? Were you invited to play sports or games? Mm-hmm. Did people call you back? You know, did parents say nice things about you? So the fact that I might have been cute, or I had some sort of, you know, memorized two or three one-liners that maybe my dad or mom taught me, where the parents would think I was interesting. Like, I'd say something great after dinner, yum, yum, you know, rub my tummy or something, yeah, who knows? But just being silly enough, but clever enough for them to remember me and say, hey, if you had to choose your friends, hey, what about that Richard boy? You know, I remember he was not shy. He was neat. And I like kids that are interesting for you.
Right.
So maybe I was invited to more things than other kids potentially, or people networked me through connections because of who I knew.
Right.
And that was very nice for me. It was a great reinforcement. And I guess my network was my net worth back in the day. And so I realized that instead of trying to be cool on the spot or put somebody down or be part of the general joke, it wasn't right. You were better off being friends with one person at a time than trying to win the whole crowd in one time. And a lot of the times I would choose the outlayers, not the head guy, because they're already busy. So I'd rather choose the four other guys that are chilling over here or the girls hanging out over there just to introduce myself, because why? I might be able to talk for a minute. And so get a chance to introduce myself. Next thing you know, I got the VIP back door line to meet the other people, and everyone's meeting everybody. And so that's all. I always like B-sides. B-sides were fun for me because some of them are still hits.
Right.
And I never like waiting in long lines. I always like to see if, you know, you knew the right guy or someone knew somebody.
Right.
And it was always a game for me as well. But, you know, it needed to be authentic in regards to giving compliments. And secondly, the more that you remember about somebody, it's nice. And it's just not the one thing that when you did ABC this one day, if you happen to were invited to their home one time, or you were in a certain place and they had mentioned, hey, I love the color blue. You know, when somebody does remember small details about you, if they mentioned pinball machines to me, Philadelphia, I drive a cool convertible, I'd be like, my man, you remember these things. And it's just, it separates you from everybody else that's just doing small talk or barely acknowledging, or just, I don't even know why you're even talking to me, I guess to pass the time. But it's interesting, the layers and levels that you get with people. But then again, it's work on our end, young lady. Right. You and I need to do a sort of good memory or tell a good story, or at least cut the fat and let you lead, and then maybe we finish. So at least we both get half the pie. And so that's important for me too, because time is tight.
Right.
You know, it's like the scent of the woman. Al Pacino dancing with this woman. It's 5 minutes of the most beautiful dance. Listen, they didn't get married. Nothing
right.
happened. But don't tell me that they didn't remember that 5 minute moment for the rest of their lives.
Right.
And so if you have a chance to meet somebody for a minute, 5 minutes or whatever, it should be beautiful. Even if it's not a dance, you should have proper introductions. There should be a solid center and a beautiful conclusion. It should be tied up in a bow. If it's a one-time thing, then so be it. But it was beautiful and you did it. And that's the way I need these people to jump clouds and have romantic deaths on the phone and to try to see things of the old world, of when people barely got to meet anybody from another village. And when you got to meet someone, it was so exciting.
Right.
It's like being on a deserted island. I'm waving at any ship. So make friends out there. And that's just, I guess, the way I see life. And that sort of passion in front of my crew is good enough and unorthodox enough and a little bit zany enough for them to say, hey, I kind of like this. It's like Animal House, but the kid can actually get on podcasts and make phone calls. So yeah, I'll definitely work at this center. Why not? Why don't we add a little special sauce to making these phone calls in a game room Willy Wonka environment? Let's do it a little bit differently than all the people that are sterile and boring and think they're cooler than everybody. You know that.
Right.
We got the game. That's the way I thought about it.
But you've treated it and created such an amazing environment for people to grow and create the understanding that you get to know people. And that's so important. You know, what you just said about network to net worth. I mean, I talk about that all the time where, you know, I always say that I am a absolute billionaire because I love the people in my network because I can help them grow and I can connect people together, which helps me feel good when I make those connections. Cause it's like that priceless MasterCard moment when you get to, when you put two people together and you're like, oh, and it's not for any, you know, monetary reason. It's just for the pleasure of making the connection because it fills your cup. And that's your net worth. That's like, I always feel like I'm like a billionaire. I love making those connections with people and getting to know people and asking questions. And it is, but it's a key thing that we shared before. These have to go away because you don't learn that in texting. You know, I'm not going to learn about that you love the color blue, or that I might not know about your convertible, or that you're from Philly through texting, but we are going to know by we having a conversation. And we're going to know by asking questions and learning about each other. And it is, it's making sure, you know, what you said, that if it's 5 minutes that you have with somebody, can we make sure that those 5 minutes lift somebody up and make them feel better
That's right.
than they did when they first met you? The first, you know, that first minute we when they leave you, do they 5 minutes later, we hope that we've raised their energy and they're feeling a little bit better, maybe walking and feeling a little bit prouder and taller. And it's a great thing to be able to do that with people in your company so that they feel that way, because it's then they're gonna love going to work.
I hope so.
Yeah. Well, I would think that you're doing such a great job at it right now with what you're doing, is growing and having over 10,000 people. That's huge.
Trained over, yes. But if they can learn a couple more vocabulary words a day, and the fact that they are bilingual, they are studying rhetoric, that definitely helps. Yeah, that's sort of reinforcement. But no, I totally hear you, and I agree with you as well in regards to this leadership and stuff. But yeah, it's if you can give yourself a luxury trade, which I did, and I'm not afraid of AI, I accept it. Uncanny Valley theory is interesting. The more it gets like humans, we might freak out about it until it gets kind of robotish again. But
Right.
they're okay for the gathering. I need your phone to communicate with you, and I need to look up things about you to find out certain things to make sure everything works out. But it's the empathy. It's that last 10% to close the deal, retain the client, or whatever. That always needs to be done with the human touch. I'll accept 90% gather, no problemo. But that final 10% of making the plans or congratulations, love you, I hate you, miss you, thought about you, that should be made in a phone call or in person or something. And I think that's a beautiful thing. That needs to still be done. You can't, please do not do that as an artificial light.
Right.
Even if they're, do you remember with the candle down the Scooby-Doo hallway? You can't really see anything but the candlelight and the darkness around you. Forget the darkness. Don't ever, ever, ever put out not just that light that gives you sight, but glows. You need to still glow. And it needs to be done naturally. And so if it needs to has to be done slowly, then fine. So you don't bump into things. But there are certain times in life when things are so delicate that if you are given the luxury of speaking second, because you might have been way off, let's not tell them we were way off. And so if they're given the luxury of time, so we can sleep on it, write the draft, not send it, wake up the next day refreshed and calm down about it. Or maybe third, ask around on the sly, hey, Jacqueline, what do you think of ABC? Because I got to do this thing tomorrow. My confidant to say, hey, Richie, this is what ABC is. It's 1, 2, 3. I go, thank you. I was all wrapped up. I needed you off the merry-go-round to tell me what's going on. And now I can do this again. And that's the maturity. You're willing to speak and ask and listen and make a plan before you lay down that final card. It's a dangerous thing, or it could be the most incredible thing. But that's what I also saw in leadership with clients and with the people. If you're no surprises. And if something happens, have a backup plan because you don't want to mess with people's money, time, their family. And so just
Right.
respect those sort of things as well.
That's really true. So speaking of, you know, like leadership and, you know, what are you doing now? Like, what's an area of growth for you right now in leadership?
Trying to adjust to this work from home virtual environment. It was a love hate. When COVID hit, I stayed in business by sending everybody home. But what happened was we lost the synergy of this environment that I was mentioning. I'm almost mentioning the glory days. Most of my agents are working virtual. Why? That's what the marketplace is. And so what happens? They save time and money, the relaxation of home. They lose the internet redundancy, backup electricity, immediate IT support. So there is fluctuation. Forgetting all of those weird things I just talked about. If you and I are hanging out together, making phone calls, high-fiving, so proud of you because you ripped that deal.
Right.
That's the greatest thing you could ever get. I loved seeing that and walking the roads. And then the game room packed, people falling in love by the Pac-Man machine. And it was cool. I love my environment. And so that's one of the challenges I have to do is to keep that sort of feeling. So I guess the best thing I can do is still be attentive to their calls and give them excellent coaching and maybe ask some questions about them. What's a benefit? You get to see what's behind people. Like, I like your little moon and I see a bird. You got some other things going on. I like your backdrop. Like me with the jukebox and the candy machine.
Right.
You might learn a little bit about somebody when you speak with them.
Right.
So that helped, but it changed. It's not like the old days. Where's the drive-in theater? I used to love those. They don't really exist anymore. Neither do these arcades. And that's why I bought a lot of pinball machines of people that went out of business. So I bought them for pennies of the dollar, cleaned out everything and got them working again. But that was a nice gift. That was a very enticing bell and whistle. So when people walked through my game room, they saw fighting machines, but they saw a lot of old pinball and retro machines and an air hockey table. And so they said to themselves, prior to accepting this job, they go, this environment looks like it's fun and the boss must treat us well. A lot of them go, how much does it cost? $5. No, I'm only kidding. Come on, you're not paying. What, bring your own beer? Come on, don't do that either. Come on, it's a party. And so, no, it's on
me.
We
supply the quarters.
Yeah, seriously. And so they look at me funny. I go, that's just the beginning. If you think that's great, imagine when you're here.
Right.
And you and I always thought about the best teacher, best coach, best boss, best work environment we could ever dream of. And if you're ever given that leverage, you got to make it fun, but you still need to be responsible. But I always believe that there is a certain way to readjust balance. Mm-hmm. That 10% demon in your head, I can put it somewhere else and figure out a way to preserve the happy. So
right.
You don't ice a kicker in between calls or in between rest and lunch periods. And you did mention right bus, right seat. There's so many amazing people here.
Right.
That really have a perfect fit with others. And so you always look for that.
That's fine. That's really nice. And the idea of, you know, it's challenging, the challenge to create that camaraderie when people are working at home versus in an environment together. It's very different. You know, it creates challenges. So how are you challenging yourself then, if anything, to grow in that area? Like, so what are you doing to how, you know, to help that piece of the puzzle, which is adjusting to that home, work from home?
I need to keep them focused. Because when they're not making phone calls, there might be a chance they're not speaking English in between calls with their family. While if they're at the call center, it's nonstop English all day. So they might be losing 20%, 30% of that sort of stimulation. Not all day, every day, but I mean, during working hours, you need to be loose,
right?
Loosey-goosey, right? So I'm just thinking of the things that I have noticed. The last thing I'm going to do is tell you what your office environment looks like, if it looks cluttered. But I do recommend certain things in regards to lighting if they're capable, because that bad lighting will kill you.
Mm-hmm.
I recommend lava lamps. Why? Because I'm from the 80s. Everyone should have a lava lamp. Of course. So yeah, get a lava lamp. Why? So in between calls, you're chilling a little bit. Okay. And then if they want to, and we're able to do this in between calls, some people like to read things or do things for their mind. It's terrible to watch YouTube. You don't do things like that. You need to either read in English, so you're speaking in English, or do something like a crossword puzzle or Sudoku or something.
Right.
So I make certain recommendations, because if you're going to put in the time, I might pay you to do graduate level university advanced English. Not like reading Shakespeare. No, the stuff I learned in college. I will give you specific rhetoric, rebuttals, vocabulary, grammar for you to use in a fun way And I'll give you Wikipedia pages that you should look at and look up certain words. Why? So, yeah, I can get you some sort of, like, in a sense, 6, 9, 12 units of advanced speech. So when you're speaking on the phone, it is beautiful half moons and warm butter slices.
Right.
Yeah. And where people have their balance and they love saying the name Jacqueline and saying things like that and just prolonging beautiful phone calls.
Right.
So they feel fulfilled at the end. And you want to know the secret of all secrets of leadership. It's a positive escalation. When somebody has assisted me prior to a transfer, I'll let Judy know how amazing she was. I'll do it verbally to you when I speak with you. When I send you a follow-up email with the meeting minutes and stuff, I will definitely mention her. And so when I call your company back and it's Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight, how are you today? Judy's going to go, is this Richard Blank? I go, of course it is. She goes, Jacqueline told me you said the greatest things about me to her. I've been here for 5 years and no one's ever said that. And I go, that's a shame.
Right.
She said you did in writing too. Of course I did. She forwarded me the email. I
Right.
know you did. Am I buttering the muffin? Come on. Of course you need to butter the muffin, but there's nothing wrong with telling someone no that she's doing a wonderful day. And I did it prior to even introducing myself to you when I got her past the pitch and I got transferred to you. What a nice way to reduce defense. Give me the reduction into my offense.
Right.
You start off instead of saying, is this a sales call? Or how'd you get my name? To saying, who's this, Mr. Sunshine, who's complimenting my assistant?
Right. It's
That's a
well,
beautiful way to start.
that is okay. So listeners, as you're listening, Richard is absolutely amazing, and everything he is saying is so phenomenal because your leadership style is so phenomenal. And if we could wrap it all up and bottle it and replicate it would be great. Or if I always say, if I could, one of the biggest things for me about doing this is like, I feel like if I could wave my magic wand and take all these great leaderships and leaders and sprinkle them all over and all the information all over the world, how amazing the world would be. Because we're going to have all these awesome leaders, and then we're going to have all these amazing, happy team members that work with us who are then going to go out into the world. And when they're interacting with other people, they're going to have a smile on their face because they are loving what they're doing. And they're surrounded by good people who, which you are doing so well, which is leaning into people and empowering them by giving them, helping them with their knowledge and believing in them to be a better person of themselves. And that is so important, that belief. So I've so enjoyed, I could talk to you forever, but I've got two questions that I want to ask. Nothing to
Yeah.
do really necessarily with leadership, but I'm really curious.
Sure.
How did you get involved? How did you fall in love with the pinball machine? That's our
In the
number
80s, there was a show called Silver Spoons with Ricky Schroeder,
one.
and he had his own home arcade. Everyone wanted that. It wasn't fair. And $5 had to last me a whole weekend. And so I can do a half an hour in Asteroids or Tempest or one of those great games, but you put on a pinball machine, with all due respect, it was like that senior head cheerleader. There's absolutely no way. This thing, it was, the game was way too expensive. It went way too fast, too complicated, but they were the most beautiful machines I remember growing up from the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, no, I love pinball machines. I love them. I mean, it's absolutely fantastic. And so my other question is, for your jukebox behind you, do you have 45 records in there?
I do. She's a beautiful 1961 Ricola Regis. Now I know what you're thinking. When I bought her and I opened it up, there was In Excess and Duran Duran. No, it was every single artist you've never heard of from the 1970s in Central America. What about La Bamba? What about La Bamba? It wasn't even in that either. I had no idea nobody's names. It wasn't even a $100 Jeopardy quiz. You could show me it, I could read it and still not understand it. So, I gave them away. I traded them out. I would bring my own down, but they're beautiful. They're magical. And if you want to put an MP3 or a Bluetooth in there, that's fine. But bring those treasures into your homes,
Yeah.
and you'll
No.
enjoy it so much.
No, that's really beautiful. So, little side note, when I was growing up, we did have a jukebox. We did have a pinball machine, and
Ooh.
I did have one of the first oh my God, I can't think of what it's called. Space Invaders, but it was like mechanical Space Invaders. Like it had like this thing that went ch -ch 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 across, and you had to shoot it, whatever. And but I can't remember. My parents, you know, we, as we got older and we moved out of the house and whatever, so did the pinball machine and the jukebox and the Space Invaders. What I would do
They're
for them,
incredible.
what
I
I would
can't
do for
believe
them
they
right now.
had that. And let them know I'm so proud of them. Amazing.
So we had a, I had that grow up, and I loved pinball. I loved it. And I was really upset when I would go to like an arcade, and I'm like, you mean I just can't keep hitting that red button to start a new game? I have to keep
I got
putting
to
my
ask you a
key.
question. You don't remember the machine, right? But was it an electric mechanical machine? Did it have the wheel? Was it from the real early 70s, or was it from the late 70s or late 80s where they did the lead?
I
Remember the
think it was a
scoring?
I think it was it had this it had a, the spring load that was number one,
Yeah.
right for the ball, and it was an older machine. It was like
It must have
seven.
had the wheel scores,
No,
right?
it did not have, no, right. No, it did have a wheel score. It wasn't electrical.
I
It was a
love
wheel.
it. And the sound was like either bells or a xylophone,
Yeah, it
correct?
was like, yeah, we had the wheels of the numbers that going on. It wasn't anything electrical. Everything was old. It was older. Yeah. And the jukebox I loved because I could like play the songs. It was, I don't know. God only knows whatever my parents ever did with them. But yeah. So anyway, so we have that. So Richard, tell us, where can people find all of your greatness, and connect with you?
Well, they should buy a ticket and fly down to Costa Rica and come meet me and come
Oh,
hang
that would be
out.
great. I need to actually get back down to Costa Rica. I'll share it, not on this podcast, but I could share a
Or
story.
another podcast.
Yeah. So where can people find
Jacqueline's Crazy Adventures podcast.
you? Exactly. Adventures, leadership adventures outside of
Well, yeah,
the
you
United
can't be leading 24/7. You need a timeout like Superman. You have to
States.
relax.
Right.
But no, you could shoot me an email at CEO Costa Rica's callcenter.com. I can't thank you enough. I had the best time today. You know you do a great podcast and bring the best out of your guests.
Thank you. I really, really appreciate it. So everybody, listen, and continue listening to Unstoppable Leadership Podcast. And please, please, please check out and connect with Richard. He is really a wealth of knowledge and has a great leadership style and knows how to get people and lead how to lead people, which is really the most important thing and make people feel good about what they're doing. So thank you so much for being a guest, and thank you everybody for listening, and I appreciate you. This is the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight Podcast, where we hear from influential leaders and game-changing insights. So thank you. I'm Jacqueline Strominger, and I want to thank you so much for listening to the Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight, Influential Leaders and Their Game-Changing Insights podcast. If you are a successful CEO, entrepreneur, or leader in your industry, and you have insights you would like to share, we want you to be a guest on this program. So please visit go.leaptoyoursuccess.com/podcast. And if you have gotten something out of this interview and you would like to share the episode on social media, just go ahead and take a screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on socials. If you know somebody who would be a great guest, please tag them on social media and let them know about the show and include the hashtag Unstoppable Leadership Spotlight. I love seeing your posts and your guest suggestions. So we regularly are putting out new episodes and content. So please make sure you don't miss any episodes and go ahead and hit subscribe. Your thumbs up, ratings, and reviews go a long way to help promote the show, and they mean so much to me and my team. You want to know more about
the podcast, or about Leap to Your Success, just go to the website leaptoyoursuccess.com or follow me, Jacqueline Strominger, on LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. Just plug in my name, Jacqueline, that's J-A-C-L-Y-N, dot Strominger, S-T-R-O-M-I-N-G-E-R, and follow me on all the socials. So thank you so much for listening, and remember, be unstoppable.